Very often is the case, we are asked, what's the most mysterious thing about our faith? Many of us at a practical level will probably always say Mass. There's just things about it I'll never seem to understand. And if we go a little deeper into our hearts, we may say, God's mercy and forgiveness. How can He forgive me, a sinner, for the things I've done? But if you scratch just a little deeper, what's revealed is this. How do you explain the Trinity? Three classic images that have been used through the ages to teach the most profound mystery, the mystery of mysteries, the light that brightens the day, the light that gives light to everything. How do you understand Father, Son, and Spirit? The first kind of common image, especially because we've had nothing but Irish priests in this diocese forever, is the shamrock. And as every Irish priest hopefully told you, that's an inadequate expression of God's Trinitarian nature. It's a good image, because you got the three leaves on the clover and everything, and they share the one substance of leafiness. But it falls short. It's not God, for one thing. And there's a whole lot of other stuff going on that makes it fall short. A second one that I think is a little better, personally, it appeals to the scientific mind in me, is to talk about water, H2O, expressed in three different ways. You have liquid water, ice, and vapor. It's all water, all has the same chemical substance, but it looks different, it's expressed differently. But still, this falls short. Why? Because it's an element. It's something we can put our hands on. God's not an element. You can't just say, here, this is godness. The third, and I think most profound, but still inadequate, is that of the human family. Father, mother, and child. The father doesn't beget the mother, so that's where this all falls short. But they do share love with one another. A love that's brought them together in a communion of persons. And from an outflowing of that love naturally springs forth the human being, the child. And it is the child who brings love back to father and mother for all of their lives, hopefully. But again, this falls short. When you begin to preach on the Trinity, you have to get big books because there's a lot to say. But as I mentioned to Peyton earlier today, I don't understand half of what's in here. But I took this away. St. Hilary, who's called the Doctor of the Trinity, said, the nature of this subject, the Most Blessed Trinity, exhausts the meaning of words. We don't have the right words to say what we need to say about God, Father, Son, and Spirit. He says, and whatever is without limits is beyond the capacity of our power of reasoning. Suffice to say, it's okay to say this is a mystery. But it's not okay to act as if this mystery doesn't have an impact on your lives. No, that's being irresponsible. That's rejecting the basis of your Christian faith. When people ask you, are you saved by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Absolutely. But Jesus would not exist, was it not for the love of the Father, calling all of us into union with Him through Jesus. Jesus exists with the Father and the Spirit always because they are God, three persons in the unity of their substance as God. However, we would not have known of Jesus' existence unless He was revealed to us. In ancient theology, usually Jesus was called the Logos or the Word. All of creation was made through Him. And so on a natural level, maybe we could begin to penetrate God's substance, who God really is, His godness. But that would be very difficult. But revelation has given us that opportunity. And as Christians, we have the responsibility to respond to that opportunity. God reveals Himself as Father, Son, and Spirit. We've been reading the Gospel of John for most of the part of the past 8 weeks. Every time we hear something of the Father, or we hear something of the Spirit, especially in the last 3 weeks of Easter, as Jesus says, I will send you a paraclete. So for each of us, when we're asked what's the most profound mystery of our faith, truly it is this mystery of Father, Son, and Spirit. The mystery touches us, practically speaking, because we are created in the image and likeness of God. As Genesis reminds us, we are made in His image. And the wording in Genesis says, our image, alluding to the fact that God exists as a trinity of persons, alluding to the fact that we, like God, are called into a community of persons. So the idea of a Christian faith without a church, my personal Jesus, is false. Revelation tells us so. God Himself, in revealing Himself as Father, Son, and Spirit, says to us no one can have a relationship with Christ outside of His church. So when we say all are saved through Christ, all are actually saved through the church, whether they realize it or not, or acknowledge it in their own lives. But for us who have the gift of revelation, who have the gift of the sacraments, who are called by the Holy Spirit through the Son into union with the Father, we must respond. I think very often the case is we don't know how to talk about the Father, because many of us unfortunately have fractured or non-existent relationships with our fathers, a generation or two of men who may have fallen away from their practice of the faith. Not that they're bad, but that they don't know how to practice their faith, express their faith, show the love they have for God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And so the idea of a God who loves us is hijacked by people's feelings because they had bad experiences of fatherhood. God the Father doesn't love you like a human being. He loves you more than any human being could ever imagine loving another human being. So don't tell people you can't have a relationship with God the Father because of a bad experience. I'm sorry that human being gave you a bad relationship, but you don't deserve to limit yourself from the love of God the Father because of that. Jesus Christ loves us because the Father loves us and because the Holy Spirit calls us into that love. For all of us who are men, fathers in one way or the other, biological fathers or spiritual fathers, we have a responsibility, a very real one, to not limit ourselves to being passive in our faith, to not limit ourselves in being passive as Christian disciples. The powerful witness of a man cannot be underestimated. Research shows that less than 20% of children whose fathers do not practice faith will practice their faith. Think about it. That's more than 80% of kids whose dads don't practice the faith will never practice the faith. And in some cases, we know the dad's just not around. That means he needs good examples, heroic examples, virtuous men who are going to draw him into the excitement and the love of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. When we talk about the Holy Trinity, my dear brothers and sisters, let's not throw our hands up and say it's a mystery. It is a mystery. It's the most exciting mystery in the world because we've been trying to figure it out and we'll continue to try to figure it out until the day Jesus comes again. But we know a little bit. We know that He revealed Himself, this Father, through His Son. We know that His Son, as the Gospel reminds us today, died for us because God loves us so much. And we know that same Father and Son who love us so much give us the Holy Spirit to draw us back into the life of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. All the images fall short of the supreme reality, the most true thing in the world, that God is God. He exists unto Himself, but because He loves us so much, He revealed Himself to us. Let us never despair. Let us never fall away from loving that God who loves us so much.